Hi, everybody. My name is Bobby D'Souza. Today, I am so delighted to have Barbara with us. Barbara, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic today. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Barbara. And just for you to know, Barbara is a coach. She's a spiritual mentor. She's been a thought leader and a public speaker, and more importantly, a great friend with me over the years. She's faced several challenges in life, and she's going to talk about it in just a minute. And one of her clients that she currently works with is BMW, where she operates in quality management. She's also a business coach there and is responsible for screening business processes and also helping people to perform, you know, to their optimum best in their job. You'd be glad to know that Barbara is a certified coach as well and has founded her own online business school, which is Barbara School of Wisdom. And she has been published in the Huffington Post and in the Thrive Global as well. So Barbara, welcome once again. Such a joy to have a conversation with you.
It's an honor to be here, Bobby.
All right. Where are we dialing from today? Which part of the world are you today?
Well, I'm living in Belgium, an hour drive from Brussels. So really in the heart of Europe.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I am logged in from the city that never sleeps. That's Mumbai, India.
Yes.
All right. So the conversation that we want to have, which is going to be quite candid, the question is, blessing in disguise, that's the name of the podcast. You know, why is it so important to you, this topic?
Well, blessing in disguise has, I think for many people listening, we all have been facing challenges in life. And today is a very special day for me because on April 7th in 2003, today we are April 7th, 2020, exactly 17 years ago, I was diagnosed with a stage 4 skin cancer, and I was told on this day that I would probably not live longer than 6 months. I was 32 years old at that time. I was a young mom. My youngest was 8 weeks old, and I had two other children, 3 years and 2 years old. I was married since 5 years and a business owner since 5 years. So as you can imagine, that news came as a bomb in our lives. When I look back now, you could say that was a huge crisis. Fortunately, I survived. But when I look back now, that event, the cancer, has been a blessing in disguise. Because it made me realize at 32 years old, being faced to death so suddenly, you could say, is a gift. Because most people at 20, 25, 30, or 35 years old live as if life is forever. And they think they have time. And being faced with that at 32, it made me think, what if I die within a month or 2 months? What is my legacy? How was my life? Have I lived the life that I truly wanted? And the answer was no. My choices until then had been based on what I thought was expected from me. I wanted to be a good person, and I made choices in function of what my parents would think about me, what the people around me would think about me. So I was living, you could say, the life of someone else. I was running a construction business, and I made that choice because my parents had been running a construction business. And it was kind of an unconscious choice. And being in the hospital bed, knowing that I couldn't be living anymore at the end of the year, I made a promise to myself. I promised that if I would survive, I would leave a positive legacy. I would be a beneficial presence in this lifetime. And without having faced that, I would never have had that insight. Sometimes we need a crisis like what's going on in the world right now.
Correct.
Sometimes we need a shock therapy to get out of our comfort zone. Because we live life, we get up, we go to work, and everything is normal and routine. And we live on unconscious patterns, you could say.
Yes.
We don't think too deeply about what we do, why we do it. It's just we think that's life. But it's not. That's not life. Mm. It's life is meant for you, the spark you have within you, the gift you have to share it with the world. And if you're an entrepreneur, you have that dream. You have the dream about your business and what you want to build. But sometimes after a year, 2 years, you have those daily practicalities, the daily worries. And sometimes you lose that large vision. You lose the spark. And times like this can bring us back to ourselves and make us think.
That's right.
Like, are we keeping on track? Are we still following our dream, our vision? Plus, right now, getting out with the crisis, we're pulled out of our comfort zone. It appeals to our creativity. That's we great. Are asked to be creative right now. Plus, it is also developing our strength. Because can you imagine if you have a life, you could say, where you never have challenges? Everything goes well. You are born, let's say, in a middle-class family. You have never had, you know, like everything went well. There was food and there was a beautiful house. You had your education. You have your job. You never have a challenge. What I know from people who never had challenges, that they never had an opportunity to develop strength. And most of the time, the first challenge they have, they are weaker and people who had challenges from childhood on. So every challenge, see it as an opportunity for you. Like, what's the lesson in here? What can I develop?
Interesting.
Can I develop resilience? Can I develop strength? Can I develop creativity? What's the opportunity for me right now?
Interesting. I've heard your story. We've had conversation before.
Yes.
But that moment of your life, when you went through cancer at a young age of 32, that was the turning point of your life, right?
Absolutely.
It just made you realize that, why am I doing what I'm doing?
Yes.
And what I really liked about your insight was that if you do not go through challenges, you can't grow as a person.
Absolutely.
But somehow I believe there is this whole myth, you know, being a speaker who's been inspiring thousands of people, just like you do and I do, is I somehow feel that people have this myth or a thought process which says that I should not have problems. Specifically, when you have COVID-19 happen and coronavirus happen, we are living in a time of history as entrepreneurs, as business owners, as employees of organization, wherein people are witnessing something that they have never, ever seen before. Now, in times like these, where a lot of people will just say things are not fair, why did it happen to me? What would you suggest to entrepreneurs?
Yes, that's something that I can say immediately, that why me? I never had that question, why me? Because I have been feeling blessed my entire life. Even now, I feel blessed. And I've went to quite a lot. Why me? Think immediately about a person who is now sleeping on the street and has no food. There are people who are so much worse off than you. Starting your day, that's what I do every day. I start my day with counting my blessings. There is always something to be grateful for. That's an attitude in life which will only help you. Let's say that I was really negative about my cancer and I was going through life in a victim mentality. Why me? Look at me. That would never have helped me. I would never have seen the lesson. I don't know if I shared this with you, but 4 years ago in the construction business, we faced some incredible setbacks and we almost went bankrupt. Then I didn't say why me. I did have one night that I was like praying and I was like, oh my God, I survived the stage 4 cancer to end up here. But then immediately I changed my mindset and I said, okay, what's the lesson here? What's the lesson? And if you stay, why me is victim mentality. victim mentality never helps you.
So it's a quick question. You know, you understand human behavior and you've been working with so many people and coaching so many people. My question is, why do you think during times of COVID-19 or during any catastrophe or a financial situation, why do you think people have this mindset of saying, why me? When they have good things happening to their life, that's the time people don't say that, why me? You know?
Why me?
But during tough times, why do you think people actually, you know, victimize themselves? What could be the root behind it?
I think most of all, it's because it's all, we are raised like that. It's a kind of default programming. Mm-hmm. The people who are not saying, why me, are, I think, maybe only 10% of population. So we are more surrounded with people who say, why me, than we are with people who are really, you know, like the leading examples. We don't have them always in our daily lives. And I think that that's one of the biggest, I'm thinking, why me is something that I never really had. Maybe I just have good karma, or I don't know. It helped me a lot to not think like that. It's learning from your experiences.
Correct.
It's knowing that what I have learned from early on, I grew up with a parent who was chronically depressed, and I could see how negative thoughts determine your life, how it pulls you down. And then I could see how powerful that is, negative thinking. It can help you into depression. But what I realized is, if negative thoughts can get you in depression, positive thoughts can bring you happiness.
Interesting.
It's the other way around. So you can think yourself into unhappiness, and you can think yourself into happiness. That doesn't mean that you have to dismiss reality. Not at all. Reality is what it is. It is only in our power how we respond to reality.
It's an interesting quote that you mentioned. You can actually think yourself into depression, and you can think yourself into happiness and a good life if you want, right?
Yes, if you want to.
Correct.
And I'm quite convinced. And of course, it doesn't happen like that. It's training of the mind. People are often obsessed with physical training. They want to go to fitness, they go running, they eat healthy, and they, you know, like the body has to be healthy. I am convinced that your mind needs the same training, if not even more. Your mind has to be trained too. We have thousands of thoughts during the day. Thousands. But you decide on which thought you focus on.
Correct.
Maybe you focus, you know, like you can have 90% good life and 10% worries. If you focus on that 10%, you can make of the 10% 90% just in your head. And not see the 90% of blessings you have. It's up to you.
True. In fact, you know, while you were speaking, there is a thought that I had when I asked you the earlier question, why do you think people get into a victim mentality? Do you think it is because people somehow have this whole self-entitlement in their mind, which means happiness is something I will anyways get. It is my birthright and I'm going to get it anyway, even if I don't earn it. But pain is something that I don't deserve. I was just wondering, what do you think about that?
I think happiness is everyone's birthright.
Correct.
But people, what kills that happiness is a certain image of what happiness is.
Interesting.
Happiness is seeing a smile of another person. Happiness is seeing a flower bloom, is seeing the tree outside. That's happiness. But we have decided happiness for me is 10,000 on my bank account. Happiness for me is the big house and is the big car and is the title. That's happiness. That's a constructed human happiness. True happiness doesn't need all those conditions to feel that fulfillment. Of course, it's nice to be striving and to be dreaming and wanting to build a company. You know, I'm a business person. I love the entrepreneurship. I love it. I love to build new programs. I just love it. But I don't want to control my reality. Reality is what it is. And it is my spark. My insight that my business grows. It's tied together. But if I would say like, oh, Bobby, I couldn't do the interview, you know, with the crisis, my income this month has been decreased with 60%, which is true. This month, I will have 60% less income. Am I crying? No. What have I been doing, Bobby? I have been creative. I have been editing my book. I created a new program. I reached out to many people how I could support them. Mm. My spark, my light kept shining. Mm. However, because I was grateful, I'm in my house. I don't go out, but I have a house. I'm healthy at house. I have warmth. I have food on my table, and the rest is up to me.
Interesting. So what you're basically saying is, one of the things you were saying is that one of the reasons why people aren't happy is because they have set conditions for them, saying that there is something that will make them happy. And when they do not get that something, they start becoming miserable and sometimes depressed and then giving up. What you're saying basically is building up an element of a character of gratitude, which consistently stays even when financially you are getting 100%, 60%, 40% or a 200%.
Yes, absolutely. Very, very astute observation what you made now. My point is the happiness doesn't come from the house. The happiness comes from the house when you say only a house will make me happy. Or a big house, let's say you want a mansion, you want a big residence, that will make me happy. Then that condition will bring you only unhappiness. And I think it's even in relationships, in marriage. It's if you put condition on love, if you put condition on happiness, then you are setting yourself up for just the opposite. Because you are the source of what you are looking for in the outside world. If you want love in your life, be love first. If you want success in your life, be success, which means be supportive to others, give value to others' life. That's what business is about, adding value to someone else's life.
Interesting.
And then the circle of giving and receiving. So when you add value to that person's life, he will appreciate. That appreciation will come in money, in that can come in various forms, that appreciation.
So,
but you are the source.
So you were saying that it's not only about expecting from people, but even during this time of COVID-19, one of the things that you can do is reach out to people, reach out to your customers, reach out to people that you work with, and try and bring some sort of a value to them, is what you're saying.
Yes.
And you receive appreciation in some form or the other, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Correct. Because business is always done through people and with people. You cannot do business without people. So be an amazing human being and people will want to work with you if you have a valuable product.
That's true. Have a valuable product, be a wonderful human being.
So business is working with people, work through people. It's always with people, whatever. Be an amazing human being first.
Interesting.
And then people will want to work with you. They want to be around you. It's the same in dating and relationships.
Yes.
It's not to every girl or to every man you talk to that you immediately want a relationship with. No, just be a wonderful friend first. And maybe one day you will meet someone who is, you know, like who is fit for you.
Correct.
It's if you talk to someone to immediately marry that person, well, that person will be very frightened of you because it will feel the pressure.
That's true.
And it's the same with doing business. If you talk to someone to immediately make a big sales, it won't work. Mm. You just add value, you be yourself. That doesn't mean you have to be a doormat. You have to set boundaries. Of course, you don't. There has to be, always the balance of giving and receiving. Mm. I don't believe in working for free too long. You can do some free services, like shortly, just to, to convince people of the quality of your work. But then there has to be some kind of return.
True. In fact, I'm reminded of people, and I've been in sales for many years, and a lot of people have been. And when entrepreneurs reach out for businesses on LinkedIn, the first thing that they do after sending a connection request is they will go and pitch you a paragraph of product and services, which puts us off, right?
Absolutely. And I will tell you something that I've been on LinkedIn many years. It's high quality content, it's intelligent, it's wonderful people there. So if someone wants to connect with me, so they reach out, they want to connect, you know what I do? I send the most charming and sweetest message that I'm looking forward to see their content and getting inspired. And they, if they need anything, that I can always reach out, that I'm always there to support. And then I thank them. You have no idea what, the responses that I got on that. People are just like blown away because they ask me to connect, but I thank them for a favor they ask me.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that's the reason why you've been getting so much of engagement on LinkedIn. And that is the byproduct of the kindness that you're trying to show, the value that you're trying to bring to them.
Yes.
Now, I just have one quick question. Now, for entrepreneurs and people who are listening right now, when they're looking at the whole element of why me, why is it happening with me? One of the key things you mentioned was need to have gratitude and be thankful for whatever you have, right? Barbara, my question was that during COVID-19 and the lockdown, when the world is thinking as to, why me, how do you think people can build a practice or a habit of considering this a blessing in disguise and coming out positively?
Okay. There are several facets to that. First of all, watch the news as few as possible. I watch the news 3 minutes just to see, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? Don't, if you absorb negative news all of the day, you become negative. So do that, reduce that as to a minimum. Take distance from negative people, from people who are into victim mentality, who are into drama, who thrive on fear, who thrive on drama. Take distance from those people.
That's true.
For me, what has always helped me is have a coach or a mentor. If you speak to someone every week or once every time, you have something to look for. You have to do it because you pay that person to do it. Then establish a routine for yourself. A morning routine. I have my, I'll show you a card. I have my morning routine here. I'll show you just a moment. Look, that's my morning routine.
Wow.
At six, I have my meditation. I have my diary. I do affirmations every morning. And you could say after all those years, yes, it's training my mind. So I think there are, what I do also, my desk is a place that inspires me. You have a place that is inspirational. There are many, many facets. Just become conscious about how you fill your mind and what you fill your life.
Correct. So how you surround yourself, you being conscious of how your work desk looks like even while you're working from home.
Yes.
And at the same time, you have some sort of a routine. That is investing in yourself rather than focusing on news and something that can make
you. You know, I read between 50 and 60 books per year.
Wow.
Those are inspirational books. There are spiritual books. I think all of that is so important to keep your spirits high. You owe it to yourself to not go into victim mentality. This life is a blessing. It's a gift. Please don't waste it. That's what I would say.
Wow. So Barbara, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure interacting with you. There's so much of information, so much of insights that we've received. I'm going to apply this in my life, and I hope that everyone who's watching, you should, apply.
And people can always connect through LinkedIn. I think if they want to connect with me, that's the easiest thing. They go to Barbara Vercruz. I don't know if you will put the name somewhere, and they can connect with me.
Absolutely. You can connect with Barbara, and I will mention the link at the end of this video. Thank you so much, Barbara, for your time. It was a pleasure speaking with you one more time. See you.